Seated. Tonight, let's turn over to the third chapter of the book of Revelation. Third chapter, Revelation. Last time we were together on Wednesday night, I spoke to you on the topic of God likes you. And I want to remind you of that tonight, once again, that God likes you and that God wants to be close to you, that he became one of us, and he lived among us humans, and eventually he's going to return for us so that we can all live together with him for all eternity. Revelation 3 gives the idea of the destiny that we're all made for, and I want to begin by having you look at verse 20 with me. This is the message, of course, that was given by the Lord to the church at Laodicea, that church that was complacent. And you're familiar, I'm sure, with the 20th verse, where he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." To sup is to eat. I want to talk to you tonight about two doors that all of this really centers around. Before we do so, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for just the correlation of the doors that you show us here in this chapter. And I pray that you would use this and these simple thoughts tonight just to stir our hearts. So will you right now remove distractions from our thinking that we might be able to just properly focus on what it is that you want to say to us tonight as a church, as well as an individual. We just thank you for this book, and we thank you for the things that you spoke to people long ago that still are pertinent to us today. We ask that you might be glorified by the response that comes as we listen to your words. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reading this chapter the other day, and I noticed that there are two doors that are opened in this chapter. And I want to start with the one that you read about later. That's this 20th verse. And it's Jesus standing at a door that the church must open, or a door that you as an individual must open. That's what the 20th verse is about. It is a door that is only opened by the act of the human will. To open to Jesus, when he says, "Open and I'll come in, I'll eat with you, and I'll fellowship with you," is basically what he's saying. It's God's call for you and I to open to Jesus's presence, to Jesus's fellowship. And it's just as true for an individual as it is to a church whom this is being spoken to. I want to take that every word of that verse, Revelation 3:20, and just think about them briefly. Notice how the verse starts. Behold, that look at this. It's a call to attention. It's like saying, "Hey, wake up. What I have to say here is really important, and you need to pay attention to it. Behold." The next word, "I." And that's a word that is personal. It's God himself. That's why it's so important It's not your neighbor. It's not a salesman or an Amazon deliverer at the door. It's I. Behold, I. He's calling our attention to himself. And then the next word, behold, I, what? I stand. It's a picture of Jesus remaining. I remain. It's a picture of Jesus bearing patiently, waiting. It's like he's at the door and he's saying, is anyone home? You know, why is it that we keep Jesus waiting so often and so long? Why do we keep him waiting? Behold, he says, I stand. I'm bearing with you. I'm waiting on you. You know, you're familiar with the fact that four mornings a week, I have a job called Meals on Wheels. You know what? One of the hardest things on that job is for me, honestly, it's waiting at a person's door. I don't like it. I don't like to stand there and wait. I want to walk to that door, push that button or knock on that door and have them immediately open the door. I hate waiting. Jesus is standing there and he's waiting. He's waiting for an answer. He's waiting for the church. He's waiting for you to answer the door. Because it's not just anyone at the door, it's him. Behold, I stand. I'm waiting. I'm remaining at that door. I stand, he says, at the door. And the door, of course, is a point of entrance. It's an entrance point. I stand at the door. It's Jesus himself, God himself, seeking entrance into the church. That's what this verse is written to originally. It's him seeking entrance into his own church. These are one of the churches that was established by the apostle. This is a church of Christ. And he's not inside. He's outside. He's at the door. He's at that entrance point. He's seeking entrance into the church. And by the way, you may be a believer, but he's still seeking entrance into your heart all the time. He wants constant entrance into your heart. He's standing at that point of approach. God's always wanting, he's always approaching you. And then it says, behold, I stand at the door and what? I knock. Now here is Jesus taking the initiative. He's knocking. He's knocking because he's seeking a welcome answer. He's seeking to hear, come on in. He's seeking to be invited, and he takes the initiative. Always remember that. It's him seeking you. It's him knocking on your door. You pray, you seek God, it's because he's been knocking on your door, and you're just answering when you pray, when you respond. You're simply saying, come on in. Always kind of humorous in a way. Some of our clients that I deliver food to, by their name in another column, it has HOH. I what's HOH? Hard of hearing. And so, you know, when you go to that door, if there's not a doorbell, well, I ring the doorbell and I knock too. And I'm not in the habit of knocking gently anyway. But I've had people yell at me, why are you knocking so loud? Well, I don't know if your door if your doorbell works, and I don't know if you can hear me if I don't knock loud. The other day, I actually had an elderly woman say to me, you need to knock louder. That's the first time anyone's ever said that to me. You need to knock louder. And so when I went by her door today, I knocked loud. And I said, did you hear it? She heard it. I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking. How loud? I don't know. Are you hard of hearing? Jesus is knocking all the time. He's taking that initiative. He's at the door of the church. He's at the door of your heart, and he's knocking. Do you hear him? You hear his knock? What do you do when you hear his knock? Do you just pretend you didn't hear it? You know, sometimes we have salespeople come onto our porch and knock on our door, and we don't want to answer the door, so we pretend we didn't hear it. We don't answer the door, right? Well, that might be all right with a salesperson that's selling solar energy panels or whatever, but you don't do that to the Lord. You don't do that as a church. You don't do that as a person. He's knocking. He's taking an initiative. And look at what he says after that. He said, if any man, it's an invitation, just one person in the church, doesn't have to be the whole church opening the door. Doesn't even have to be the whole church hearing the knock. It's just one person in the church. If any man, it's just any person's life. Anyone, if any man, no one in particular. And then he says this, if any man hear my voice. So evidently he's doing more than knocking. And when I knock, I also follow it up and I say, Meals on Wheels, because they may not answer the knock if they don't know who it is, especially in the projects where it's pretty, there's some bad stuff going on there. And so they're afraid to open the door if they don't know who's knocking on their door. So he says something. He not only knocks, Jesus is speaking. And we're supposed to hear his voice. We're supposed to be listening. If any man hear my voice, he says. Is there anyone in the church that hears the voice of the Lord speaking to the church? Are your spiritual ears tuned? Are they listening? Could you recognize the voice of, do you recognize Jesus's voice? You ever heard his voice? And I'm not talking about it being audible, but I think there are times when people have heard an audible voice. I've heard people actually say that. But anyway, you'll never hear it if you're not listening. And you won't recognize it if you aren't in the habit of welcoming him into your heart. If any man hear my voice, and then he says in that 20th verse, and open the door. You hear his knock, you hear his voice, you recognize his voice, then there's a response that's necessary on your part. Open the door. Come on, I've been knocking for it really, you know, my flesh. I knock on the door, and then they don't answer it. And so I have a responsibility. I have to call the office, and they have to call whatever contact numbers they have to make sure that that person isn't on the floor in their house having a stroke or dead. If I deliver a meal without knowing that someone's going to be responsible to get that meal, I could be fired because it has happened. Where a guy had delivered a meal, he had been on the same route for a long time, and he delivered the meal for a solid week, and the person was dead for a week in the house. And so the door has to be opened. It bothers me, though, as I said, that I knock, I ring the bell if there's a bell, you know, I say meal's on, I the whole spiel, and no one answers the door. So I call the office, and the office gets in touch with someone, and they say, oh, they said just leave it on the door. Well, why can't you come to the door and You know, even if you don't open it, tell me, leave it on the door. I wonder. You know, I know the Lord doesn't get frustrated like I do, but he wants a response from us. He says, open the door. If you hear me knocking, if you hear my voice, your response ought to be, you should welcome me and receive me into your church, into your heart. There should be a response. Receive me into your life. It's not that you know, there's a peek hole in many doors. And they're peeking through that hole, deciding by what they see on the other side of that door, whether they're going to open it or not. Are you peeking? You realize who it is that's knocking, that's speaking, that you're supposed to answer that door. You're refusing to answer it. Then notice this again in verse 20. If you will open the door, he says, I will. It's a promise. Promise of Jesus. I will. You have to believe his promise. You wouldn't respond at all. You wouldn't open the door if you didn't believe, I will come in. I will. The promise of the Lord. It's necessary to believe his promises, to take God as his word, or you'll never respond to him, and thus you won't experience his presence. You have to believe the I will. And then he says, I will come in. And I believe that that's a reference to his presence. That it's possible for God to make known his presence to a church or to an individual, to a person like you. It's possible for God to make his presence to be a living reality in this church or in your life. You can experience the wonderful, humbling presence of God. We can. I will come into him. He says, and sup with him or eat with him and he with me. That's fellowship. That's his presence and the fellowship that is enjoyed in the presence of the Lord. Fellowship with him. This is what Jesus wants. He wants closeness. He wants familiarity. He wants intimacy with the church and with you. This is what his desire is. For fellowship. He wants to come to us. He wants to eat with us, if you will. He wants to live with us. And in the next verse, which I didn't even read, he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne. In other words, he not only wants to live with us, we're big enough to sit on the throne with him forever. God's prepared to have eternal fellowship with us. But the last point about this door that you must open is it's a choice. It's a choice. If any man, he says, will open the door, whether it be the church as a whole or you as an individual, you and I can keep God locked out. We can keep God locked out of a local assembly like this. We can keep God locked out of our individual lives because it's a choice. God never will break down the door to get into a church. God will never break down the door of your heart to get into your soul, to get in your life. God will never force himself upon any church or any person. He's a perfect gentleman. And he waits for a welcome reception. You can lock him out if you won't open. So you have to decide to open the church to him. You have to welcome him into Bethel. You have to welcome him into your life, into your heart. Even if you're saved, you have to welcome him over and over again into your heart to give him a place, to let him in. In the Book of Song of Solomon, which is a book about married love, but it could also perhaps be applied to a relationship between the church and the Lord Jesus, because he's pictured as the bridegroom and we're pictured as the bride. And in chapter 5, it's very interesting. The wife says, "I sleep, but my heart wakes. It's the voice of my beloved that knocks, saying, 'Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them?' My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels, my heart was moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of a lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him." But you have to open the door, and don't wait, because he may slip away as far as fellowship is concerned. It's better to be stressed like this woman than to later on find out he can't be found. He's not there. God wants closeness, but we often fail to be reciprocal. We misunderstand because we're afraid of God, perhaps, or we build walls instead of a bridge to be close to him as we possibly can. If you choose to lock God out of your life and not open the door, you ignore the depth of his love and his desire, and you'll never have victory over sin in your life. That's the door that you must open. Now, quickly and more simply, verses 7 and 8 is the second door in chapter 3. It's the door that God will open. If you will open the door to him, God will open a door to you. And look at what he says here. It's the church at Philadelphia. And he says in verses 7 and 8, he says, "I am he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, kept my word, not denied my name." Door that God will open. It's a door of opportunity. It's a door of opportunity for ministry. It's only when the church, or when you as an individual believer, invite Jesus's presence and Jesus's fellowship into your life and his direction, God will open a door to you. You open the door to him, he'll open the door to you, or for you. And notice the authority in that seventh verse. He says, he has the key of David. He has the key to open. And that's authority that he's referring to. It's actually going back to Isaiah chapter 22. And it's really a judgment against Jerusalem. The prophet Isaiah is sharing in this 22nd chapter. And he says, I'm going to drive the man who had the key of David, who was the doorkeeper, you might say, I'm going to drive you from your position, and I'm going to pull you down. His name was Shebna. And it's going to come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I'll commit the government into his hand, and he'll be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut, none shall open, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. He shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. So the key is a symbol of authority. And when he says, I have the key of David, Jesus is the ultimate Eliakim. He is that nail fastened in the wall that will never be removed. Jesus is the final son of David. He's the heir to the throne with all the sovereign power and authority, not only over Israel, but the entire world. He has the power to open the door. If you open the door to him, he will open with his authority, all authority in heaven and earth, he will open the door of ministry opportunity like you've never imagined. It is ministry. It's the authority of ministry that he'll give you, that open and closed door. Ministry opportunities for the gospel. Ministry opportunities for evangelism, divine appointments that are arranged and orchestrated by God because you're depending upon his direction and his power. And then he says in that 8th verse of Revelation 3, I'm going to set a door before you no man can shut. And you have a little strength. I know, he says, I know. In verse 8, I know your works. There's familiarity there that he has with us. God knows all about the church, and he knows all about your works. He knows the state of your spiritual condition. Verse 8, you have a little spiritual strength. And he knows the level of your loyalty to Jesus, that you've not denied his name. So he has authority. He has the authority to open a door of ministry for you. And he has familiarity with you. He knows. And really that brings me then full circle to what I wanted to end with. And that is the necessity. And the necessity is this. You open the door to Jesus' presence and Jesus' fellowship. And that is the key that opens the door of opportunity for you to share the word of God with both sinners and saints, with the church, or personally, truth that God has given to you, that you share, that you got as a result of spending time with Jesus, you share with others. He'll give you spiritual insight and spiritual boldness to share with other people so you don't become stagnant in your spiritual life. Again, I hate to keep using the personal illustration of Meals on Wheels, but it fits because there's a lot of doors. When I deliver Meals on Wheels, they ask me, of course, to knock and to say what I'm there for. And they recognize my voice and they open the door to get their meal. And when they do so, their need is met for food for that day. When Jesus knocks, you have to recognize his voice. You got to answer that knock. You got to invite him in, and he'll become the meal. He'll become your nourishment. He is the bread of heaven. He is the living water, and he will feed and nourish your soul so that you will have strength that he gives you, and you may feed others that same meal, which is Jesus. So there's a door that you must open, but there is then a door that he will open for you.